Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue the worship service this evening, singing from Psalter 103, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Lord, in thee am I confiding. Thou wilt answer when I call, lest my foes, the good deriding, triumph in thy servant's fall. 103, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Scripture reading can be found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 51. Psalm 51. But first we will hear the 12 articles of our Catholic Christian undoubted faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention to you Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Thus far.
Congregation, we wish to remember in prayer Mrs. Henrietta Schulten, who is in the hospital. Let us pray together and ask the Lord for his presence and his blessing. Almighty, eternal, merciful, and gracious Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast created all things, thou who upholds all things, in thee we live and move and have our being, and without thee we can do nothing. We are completely dependent upon thee, everything for our physical needs, but also for our spiritual needs. Lord, our life is in thy hands, and at thy time thou could call us from this life to stand before thee. And Lord, thou hast given this life a time to be prepared to meet thee, to meet our Creator, to meet thee whom we have sinned against and do sin against all thy commandments. We have that guilt of original sin and our own actual sins. And Lord, we ask thee then that thou would teach this truth to our hearts. We all know it in our minds, and we can even confess it with our mouth. But Lord, teach it. May it become real. May it become our experience that I am a sinner, a lost sinner, a guilty sinner, a polluted sinner before thee, that all-knowing God, who knows each one of us most perfectly, each of our hearts are an open book unto thee, and thou records every one of our sinful deeds, all our sinful thoughts, all our sinful words and deeds and affections and desires and motives. It's all recorded. But oh, may we ask thee then, Lord, teach us this truth, that we may truly come before thee, bowing in the dust as a lost sinner, as a guilty sinner, as an unworthy sinner. And Lord, by nature thou hast created us with a heart that loves thee, but we have sinned against thee And by nature, our hearts are so hard. There's no life. It's dead. Thou speaks unto us through thy law, and we do not tremble as a guilty sinner. And thou comes unto us through the precious gospel, and we do not have any joy in it. Oh, we beg thee then, remember all those among us who yet have a dead heart, a hard heart, a hard heart as a stone. Break them, Lord, for the first time, but also again and again. And Lord, remember those who are brokenhearted, who sorrow because of sin, and sorrow because of who they remain to be before thee. Oh, they have a desire to live unto thee, to serve thee with all their strength and might and heart, but sin clings to them, and they are burdened with who they remain to be, and how it often can be so cold and so hard again. Oh, look upon them in mercy, Lord, and come, break those hearts again. But also we beg thee that through thy word that thou would comfort brokenhearted ones. Thou art the only one who can break hearts, and thou art the only one who can comfort brokenhearted ones. And may it be tonight, through thy word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that dead ones may come alive, but also those who are the recipients of thy free and sovereign grace, whom thou hast made objects and subjects of thy love from eternity and sought them in time. Oh, may they receive a little comfort, a little instruction, a little bread from the table of the gospel. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then come among us, thou who art that good shepherd, that faithful shepherd, that caring and all-wise shepherd of thy sheep and of thy little lambs. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would gather with us, and we plead nothing of self, because we are sinful, we are polluted, we are unworthy. But may we beg it, Lord, because of thy name's sake and for thy name's sake. Do it for thy own honor, for thy own glory. And Lord, we pray that thou would then not only teach us to pray, but give us that true humility before thee, but also that faith to come unto thee, believing that thou art a rewarder of them that diligently seek thee. O Lord, unto whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Thou alone can help us, not only for everything in this time upon this earth, but especially for each one of our soul's needs. O, wilt thou then through thy word answer those questions that may be in hearts? Take away riddles. Give what is needed, Lord. Thou knowest all who have come together with us and all who may be listening along. Lord, bless thy word then with the power of the Holy Spirit, and thy word is profitable for all things, for doctrine, for instruction, for reproof, for admonishment, but also for comfort. Thou hast that only comfort that can comfort poor, weary, burdened sinners who have no hope in self anymore, but look to thee. Oh, visit them. May it be tonight through thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that thou would also remember those who could not gather with us due to different reasons. And then we think especially also of those who are bound upon their beds due to sickness and other cares, those in Bethany Care Home or other places or in the hospital. We think of Mrs. Henry Schulton. Remember her, Lord. Give wisdom to the doctors to help her. Help her for her physical needs. But, oh, we beg thee especially, visit her, thou who art that great and almighty physician of souls. Visit her with thy salvation. Care for her. Help her. Remember also her husband in this way also, and the family. Lord, remember those who were in the hospital and could return home, those who had surgeries and could also return home. Lord, it's thy mercy, it's thy patience and long-suffering goodness to unworthy sinners. Sanctify these callings to all our hearts, Lord. Remember all those who are mourning, comfort them. And Lord, we also acknowledge thee that the group of young people may return safely from their travels to Bolivia. Thou hast cared for them on the way there, while they were there, and brought them home again. But teach us all, Lord, that we are on a journey to a never-ending eternity, and we need to be prepared. And by nature, we are on that broad way, and we need to be translated onto that narrow way. O Lord, wilt thou then translate sinners from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son, and teach us those necessary lessons that thou wilt teach all thy dear people, that we are sin, that thou art holy, just, but also merciful and gracious through thy dear Son. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then richly bless thy word here in this congregation, in our families, among our children, but also throughout the world. May thy kingdom come among Jew and Gentile. Help all thy servants. Give that we may be faithful to thy word, and that thou would give light upon thy word, and that we may speak the truth, death in Adam and life in Christ. Lord, wilt thou then gather with us, take away all the obstacles and the hindrances in listening, take away all the distractions, give a hearing ear, enlighten minds, renew hearts. And Lord, wilt thou also give all that is needed to thy servant, a son of man, to preach thy word, and bless it, Lord, for the glory of thy name, for the coming of thy kingdom, for the salvation of sinners, and for the edification of thy dear people. And so, Lord, we beg all these things, nothing of ourselves, but may we beg it, may we plead, because of thee, because of thy dear Son, upon him in whom thou art well pleased, we ask, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Let us continue now with singing from Psalter 141, all four stanzas. 141, all four stanzas. Gracious God, my heart renew, make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from thee, let thy spirit dwell in me. Thy salvation's joy impart, steadfast make my willing heart. Psalter 141, all four stanzas, and the collection for this evening is for the building fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, a few weeks ago we also met for a midweek service. And then we considered and meditated on Psalm 51. And in this psalm we saw that David was sorry for his sins, for his iniquities, and for his transgressions. And he confesses his sins as we read in verse 4. And he also confesses that his very being was sinful from the very beginning of conception. And he confesses that he needs a new, a clean, a renewed heart. David has a penitent heart. And we considered a few of the petitions of David that we read that comes out of his penitent heart. Have mercy on me, O God. Wash me, cleanse me, purge me, forgive me. And David feels absolutely unworthy of anything. He even confesses that he's worthy to be cast out because he asks God, cast me not out of thy presence. And he begs the Lord to uphold him. David has a penitent heart. And David, by his sin, has lost the taste of the joy of salvation and asks the Lord to restore the joy of salvation. David needs everything from God. And so he pleads and he begs God for mercy. As we read, especially in verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And David's heart is all closed up. His lips are sealed. Before maybe he could sing, and we know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But it's all sealed up. It's closed. And he begs for the Lord's mercies, that again his heart may overflow, his mouth may open, and his lips may be opened, that he may give praise to God who is so worthy to be praised with his whole being. And if God would just give a little taste for this penitent, unworthy, wretched sinner, a little taste of pardon, then his heart would break, lips would open. And then he says in verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. And then David makes another statement. He makes another confession in verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. What is David saying? What does he mean? What does a penitent heart understand? What do they learn? Well, David knew that according to the ceremonial law, there was no sacrifice for the sin of adultery that he committed and of murder that he committed. He knew that he was only worthy of one thing, the death sentence. David understood that because of his sin, he stood as a hell-worthy sinner, worthy only of death. And David knew that no matter how many thousands of animals that he could give for a sacrifice, and no matter how much blood of bullocks and lambs would flow, he could not be pardoned. David knew, and all recipients of grace, all true penitents, learn that from their side, they only are worthy because of the sin. They're only worthy of death. The wages of sin is death. And that no sacrifice from man can remove guilt or sin. Not even if you would give your firstborn son, said the prophet Micah, as we read in chapter 6, verse 7. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He knew it was all insufficient. Still, that sin would be marked. And he said, else would I give it. By nature, we would get everything to try to be right with God. And we do try, even after receiving grace. And we need to be led to that only sacrifice. And we're willing to give much. And we think we can give much. But we have to be taught it's all insufficient. And we need to be led to an end in self. And we need to be led to that only sacrifice that is pleasing to God. And those that taste a little something of the mercy and the pardon of their sins, their hearts break, their hearts melt, and they want to sacrifice. As Paul said in Romans, the reasonable sacrifice, they want to give their life as a sacrifice to God. May I ask you, are you a penitent sinner? Can you follow David through the psalm? Do you know something of the same experiences? Have you been taught the same lessons? What is the sacrifice? The only sacrifice that God is pleased with. That's the sacrifice of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does God desire of his people? What does he desire? Their heart. He says in Proverbs, my son, give me thine heart. What kind of a heart is the Lord pleased with? What kind of heart? What do you think? A penitent heart. What is a penitent heart? How would you describe a penitent heart? What does it look like? What's the characteristic of a penitent heart? It's broken and contrite. And that is what we are going to consider tonight from this psalm. The text for this evening is from Psalm 51, verse 17. Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. So the theme, remember the theme from the last time? The petitions of a penitent heart. Now tonight, the penitent heart, broken and contrite. That's the theme. The penitent heart, broken and contrite. And we have three thoughts. First, naturally hard. By nature, our hearts are not broken. They are not contrite. They are hard. We will first consider that. Second thought, mercifully broken. What is a broken and a contrite heart? How are they broken? Who breaks them? What is it to have a broken heart? And then graciously comforted. Yes, God graciously comforts broken hearts. He has a promise. Also in this text, he will not despise. And we will consider other some precious texts from the Word of God, which speaks of promise and comfort for brokenhearted ones. So the penitent heart, broken and contrite, naturally hard, mercifully broken, and graciously comforted. So with the Lord's help, our first thought, naturally hard. The natural heart is not broken and contrite. As we read in Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. What kind of a heart does a natural man without grace have? What kind of a heart is it? It's proud. It's wicked and it's proud. And a proud heart is an abomination to God. We read in Proverbs 16, verse 5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Children, teenagers, older ones, is your heart still hard and proud? Then you and your heart is an abomination to God. What a thought. Abomination is a very strong word. What kind of a heart is man born with? What kind of a heart does the natural man have? What kind of heart does a boy and a girl have when they're born? They have a heart of stone, and they need a new heart. The Lord made this very clear in the prophet Ezekiel. We read in chapter 36, verse 26, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." What's the hardest something of the hardest material on this earth? A stone. A farmer doesn't want to find stones in his field. Shale will shatter, but a stone will destroy things. A stone is hard. You can hit it with a hammer. You can't even dent it. You can put it in the fire. It doesn't melt. The Lord says that the natural man, the boy, the woman, the girl, has a heart of stone. Did God create you with a heart of stone? No. God created man with a heart that loved him, a heart of flesh, a heart that longed to have communion with God, a perfect heart, a good heart. A heart of stone is an illustration of our spiritual deadness. How did man receive, or how did a man come to have such a hard, stony heart? By his sin and by rebellion in paradise. Man made his heart as hard as a stone. Yes, it's man's guilt. Listen to what Zechariah said in chapter 7, verse 12. "Yea, they have made their hearts as an adamant stone." What's an adamant stone? That's a diamond. And we use diamonds on the tips of saw to cut concrete. You see how hard they are. That's a picture of a heart, as hard as a diamond, hard as a hard stone. It's not broken. It's hard. It's dead. It resists everything. A sinner hears the law of God. He hears his sin, his wickedness from the mouth of God that he speaks every Sunday, the Ten Commandments, and his heart doesn't tremble. He listens. He hears his sin, but he doesn't even tremble because his hard heart. And God proclaims the gospel, the goodness that is through his son, and there's no joy. They don't have any joy. The Lord sends afflictions. He speaks through his word, but also through providences, and they do not bring that sinner to repentance. Why? Because he has a hard heart of stone, as hard as a diamond. Why is the natural heart so hard and so dead? No, it's not a pretty picture. It's dead because there's no spiritual life. It's living, but there's no spiritual life. The natural heart is a stony heart, and it's under the power of sin and Satan. They're blinded by the God of this world, as we read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. "And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." My friend, is your heart still a hard stone? Do you not tremble at all by the law? And is there no joy in the gospel? Do you just resist it? Is your heart still absolutely hard? Maybe some little pricks. Maybe some common convictions. But it's still hard. Not broken. Not humble. I hope tonight, if you feel it in yourself, that you beg him, because he's the only one that has the power and is willing and is able to break your hard heart. Because if you die with a heart of stone, an unrepentant heart, listen to what Paul wrote in Romans 2, verse 5. "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." Do you still have a heart of stone? I hope you feel it. I hope you're convicted tonight. May the Lord break hard hearts. Who is the only one that was not born with a heart of stone? Only the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born with a pure heart. He was born with a heart that loved God above all else, with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his strength. And he loved his neighbor as himself. He delighted to do the will of God. That was his life. That was his whole being. that Adam sinned, and we fell with him. And by nature, we have a hard heart. Sinner, you need this only mediator. You need that perfect, righteous Savior, Jesus Christ. The natural heart is hard. The almost Christian still has a heart that's altogether dead. The hypocrite, he loves his own reputation. And his heart is hard, it's dead. And there could be many emotions, many tears even, yet in the inside there can still be a hard, dead heart. I think of Orpah. She had tears, yet a hard heart. Esau, he wept, a hard heart. Ahab wept, and he even confessed, a hard heart. My friend, is your heart still hard and dead, or is it broken? And maybe now you ask, what is a broken heart? Tell me, what is a broken heart? Well, that brings us to our second thought, mercifully broken. Who can break such hard hearts? God. God in his mercy breaks hard hearts. He broke the heart of David. David had a broken spirit and a contrite heart. God broke it. David did not break it. No sinner breaks his hard heart. No, God broke his heart. What is a broken heart and a contrite spirit? Let's read Psalm 51, verse 17 again. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Now also Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And so we hear of a broken spirit, a broken heart, a contrite spirit, and a contrite heart. It all means the same thing. It all has the same meaning. In Hebrew, it literally means crushed, broken, crushed. It's referring to something on the inside of a person. It's referring to his being, to who he is. Humble is another word to describe a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Humble, humility, that grace worked in a sinner by God, by his mercy. Someone who doesn't have any more high thoughts of himself at all. He has low and humble thoughts of himself as he thinks of who he is in the sight of God. The Lord Jesus Christ calls them poor in spirit. In this life, you meet people who have low self-esteem. They're timid. That's not who David is writing about. That's not one who has a contrite spirit and a broken heart. People may have a low natural self-esteem, and they may be timid, and yet they may miss the grace of God. David is not speaking about natural characteristics. No, he's speaking about spiritual characteristics, about grace and the heart of a sinner. David is describing a man or a woman, a boy or a girl with a broken heart. There's an inner sorrow, of who they are. It is someone like David who reflects on who he is, before God, and he compares himself to the holy standard of God. And he sees who he is in the light of God, of who God shows him is who he is through the word of God. This is a person who feels the weight of all his sins. And he's crushed, he's broken because of who he is and who he remains to be before God. They do not measure up to who they should be. They were made in the image of God, and they feel they completely miss the image of God. This person, God has poured love in their heart, and there's love back to God. This person has pain and sorrow because he does not love God as he ought to. He does not trust God as he ought to. He does not serve God as he ought to. He does not follow him as he ought to. He desires, but he feels he doesn't. He does things he must not, and he does things that he should not. He does them. They sin against God, and they feel broken. They have a broken heart. It's crushed. It's melted. Is this you? Do you have a broken heart? Has God taught you who you are before Him? Or do you still have a heart of stone? What breaks the heart of a sinner? What breaks the heart? The knowledge of sinning against a good doing God. It's the love of God that breaks the heart. You can hit him with the hammer of the law, but it may shatter, but it doesn't melt. A broken heart is a melted heart. It's not shattered into 1,000 pieces. No, it's melted. It's broken. When by grace our spiritual eyes are open to see who we are, to see who we are before a holy, just, and a good-doing God. And when they taste, as a lost sinner, something of the mercy and the goodness and the pardon of God, this breaks the heart. David in Psalm 51 is reflecting on who he is. He's reflecting on what he has done unto God, of his sins, of his iniquities, of his sins and transgression. And at the same time, he's reflecting on how God has been so good to such an absolute unworthy wretch. And this breaks his heart. This breaks his heart. And he longs to have the renewed, restored joy of salvation. And he longs to be able that his heart would break and his lips would open, and that he could again serve God as he did formerly. The sinner with a broken and a contrite heart desires to live in holiness. He desires forgiveness. He desires restoration. He desires communion with God. We see this through the psalm, through Psalm 51. For example, verse 9, and blot out my iniquities. Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence. Verse 12, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Verse 15, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall sing forth thy praise. Do you have a broken heart? Is your heart broken? Are these your desires? Do you understand a little of this description of a broken heart? What breaks the heart? The gospel. What breaks the heart? The love of God. What breaks the heart? The love of Christ. The grace of God. That I, who lived so rebelliously, who lived and broke all the commandments of God, who lived only according to the desires of my flesh, who lived in sin, who heard the gospel and ignored it, and didn't need it, rejected it, and ignored him completely, and only wanted to live for myself. But God sought me. God saved me. God broke my heart. God came with his free and sovereign grace. And he taught me of my sin. And he taught me something of salvation through that only Savior, Jesus Christ. He revealed not only who I am, but something of his Son, something of that way of salvation, of his merits, of his life, or even further leanings, of his sacrifice. That breaks the heart. That God was so good to such an unworthy, hard-hearted, rebellious sinner. That breaks the heart. What breaks the heart? What breaks the heart again of those recipients of grace? That after all the goodness, that after all the mercy, and that after all the grace, I again sin. As David, maybe fell very deep, sinned again against all that goodness, that I'm still a wretch after all that mercy, and yet God still holds on to me, that he still loves me, such a wretch, that he doesn't let me go, that he brings me again to repentance, that he holds on and cares. That breaks the heart, that you sin against so much goodness. What broke the heart of Peter? Remember? He denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times and even with an oath. But then what happened? What broke his heart? The Lord Jesus turned and looked at him. And I can tell you, those eyes didn't look at him with anger and wrath. But those eyes looked at him and they caught Peter's eyes. Those eyes looked at him with pain. And that broke the heart of Peter, and he went out and wept bitterly. All the grace of God and the grace of Jesus Christ, when they taste that, those wretched sinners, that breaks the heart. It becomes amazing. Amazing grace. Do you have a broken and a contrite heart? Do you? How are they broken? Well, the love of God. But what really, where does God lead his people to break their hearts again and again, but also to really break it? To the cross. To the cross of his dear son. Why? Because there is the display of what they deserve, that they should hang there. But another stood there for them. There is displayed not only the wrath of God against sin, but also the love of God for such unworthy sinners. All the knowledge. When the Lord leads a sinner, not only that they are sinful, but leads to that precious gospel, to that love of Christ, that he was willing voluntarily to lay down his life, to give it all, to give his life, to give his blood. That breaks the heart. He said, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." My friend, it will not be a look at your wicked heart that will break your heart. It will not be a look at the law that will break your heart. It will only convict you of more sin. It will not even be a look into the very depth of hell and all the misery that will break your heart. But it will be the revelation of the goodness, the mercy, and the grace of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. It will be a look at that heart that's on that cross, that went to the cross for the joy that was set before him. Oh, to see that, that breaks the heart. Tasting of the mercy and the goodness of God for such hell-worthy sinner breaks the heart. Is your heart broken? No, beg the Lord. Beg him, Lord, break my heart. Break my heart. Break it with thy love. Break it, that I may begin to live for that one purpose, to serve thee. Pray, Church of God, like David did in verse 14. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. And when a person comes to that place that believes and trusts only in that only Savior, and who he is, not only in his birth, not only in his perfect life, but also in that sacrifice that he gave upon the cross. Oh, then they see not only sin by the law, but they also see sin by the gospel. What do you mean? Because they see on that cross that sin caused that dear Savior to bleed, to suffer, to die, to be a worm. They see the wrath of God, the horribleness, the depth, a deeper depth of the wickedness, of the evil of sin, that their sin caused that precious Savior to suffer immensely, not only in his body, but in his very soul, that he was separated from the communion of God for them that deserved to be eternally cast out. The sinner's heart is broken. Broken because of that love, of that great unspeakable love, that love that began in eternity, that love that found them, that love that will hold on to them, and that love will not let anything ever separate them from him. All that love of God through Jesus Christ, and that knowledge, a little taste of that mercy and of that grace, that breaks the heart. Is your heart broken, my friend? Do you know something? Not only who you are, but something of the goodness of God through the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ. Do you desire, because of that taste of the love, to live for him, to praise him? O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. My friend, your heart should be broken. Our hearts all should be broken tonight. Yes, all of us. We all should have an absolute broken heart. Why? Because the Lord is so good to us. He abundantly supplies for all our daily needs, and we are absolutely unworthy. That should already break our hearts. Children, every day you have food, that you have health, it should break your heart. But the Lord even did more for us. What did he do? He gave us his precious word. That word can make us wise unto the only way of salvation. Our hearts should be broken. Not everyone. No, millions in this world do not have the gospel, do not have the knowledge of that way of salvation. It should break your heart. And yet by nature we still remain so sinful and so rebellious. And yet the Lord says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. What a wonder. May you hear it. As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his evil way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? May his goodness to such rebellious sinners break your hearts. And in spite of all our sinfulness, and all our rebellion, and all our unrepentant ways, and hard hearts, yet he calls, yet he invites sinners, hard-hearted sinners, with what? Isaiah 1 verse 18, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be like red, like crimson, they shall be as wool. What mercy, what goodness, what long-suffering mercy. Oh, I pray that the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, applies his word and breaks your heart. But maybe you resist, because that's us by nature. Maybe we even agree, but in our hearts, we resist. We don't want to be brokenhearted. We don't want to be humbled. We don't want to be guilty. We don't want to be lost. We don't want to surrender. We don't want to give it over. We don't want to become completely dependent upon him and him alone. My friend, there's such comfort for the brokenhearted ones, for the contrite ones. Listen, as we go to our next thought, what you miss. And you who have a broken heart, or maybe you feel its heart again, may it become broken again. Hear what the Lord promises to brokenhearted ones. But let us first sing from Psalter 91, stanzas 2 and 5. 91, 2 and 5 standing. The righteous cry Jehovah hears and rescues them from all their fears. The Lord draws nigh to broken hearts, to contrite spirit help imparts. 91, 2, and 5. Penitent heart is broken and contrite. we consider a little something about naturally hard, a little something about mercifully broken. And now our third thought, graciously comfort. God graciously, upon the merits of Jesus Christ, comforts the broken-hearted and contrite sinners. First, we will consider what we read in verse 17, and then we will also consider some other texts from the Word of God that speaks about the comfort. So let's read verse 17 again. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. What does it mean to despise? It means to look down on someone else with contempt. It means to look down on someone else and dislike them with disapproval. For example, as that Pharisee in the temple, as he looked down on that publican with disdain. And those with broken hearts feel worthy that the Lord would only look upon them with no favor. Because of all their sins, they feel worthy of being despised because of who they are, because of what they have done, and because of what they remain, because of their sinfulness. But God will not despise them. Never yet has God ever despised one penitent, broken-hearted, weeping, poor, wretched sinner. He cannot, and he will not. Why? Because it's his work. He's looking at his own work in the heart of a sinner. It's the work of his grace. And Jesus Christ will never, ever, ever despise a poor, needy, penitent, poor, broken heart that comes unto him. As we heard last Sunday morning, he receiveth sinners. And those that come unto him, he will in no wise cast out. He cannot, because it's his own work. It's his grace. David could only offer to God, what? A broken heart? No, he didn't qualify with that, but all he had to present before God was a broken heart. And then he said, O God, thou wilt not despise. So the opposite can also be implied, and it is implied in this text. So what's the opposite? What's the opposite of despise? That's looking upon someone with favor, looking upon someone with care, to look upon them and to care for them. God, the Almighty God, looks upon those poor and needy, broken hearts from heaven, and he looks upon them with fatherly, distinct, caring favor and attention. What a comfort. What a comfort. Maybe no one else knows. No one else sees your heart, but he sees your heart. He sees it's broken. He sees you weeping. He sees you weeping again of your hard heart. He sees you weeping and broken because of sin against, yet against all that goodness. Brokenhearted ones, listen. Listen to his word. And you are still hearted. Listen to what you miss. Isaiah 57 verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. What comfort he looks upon. His eye is upon you, brokenhearted ones. You who are not brokenhearted, his eye is not upon you with any comfort. His eye is still upon you in wrath. Who is without comfort? Who is living without comfort? Those hard-hearted, unrepentant, unbelieving, rebellious sinners. May I ask you, what does God despise? You say sin. Yes. But what does God expressly say that he despises in his word? One example. What do you think it is? What do you think? Maybe we think of those wicked people that commit abortion. Maybe we think of those wicked people, transgender, or all kinds of other things we think of such horrible sins. Open your Bible to Amos 5. And there we will read something of what God despises. What does he despise? Formal Christianity. External religion. Doing all the right thing. All the right thing, but without any heart for God. Without any penitent, broken heart. No love for God. We read in Amos 5, verse 21. And the following verses. Amos 5, verse 21. And he's speaking to his covenant people, the Israelites. I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Do you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings? I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols. So who does God despise? It's the Israelites. But they're sacrificing. They're doing all the right things. It's only outward formal Christianity. It's not with the heart. They're still serving the idols, as we read further in that chapter, and we know from the prophets. They're serving God and Baal. It's not with a broken heart. It's not with a penitent heart. It's with a hard heart. God despises those who do all the right thing, so to speak, but it's not with a heart. Take that home. Meditate upon it. But God does not despise those broken-hearted ones. Those broken-hearted ones. And we read now another verse, Psalm 34, verse 18, which also speaks about comfort. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So the Lord says he is nigh. Who is he nigh to? Nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. What does nigh speak of? It speaks of friendship. It speaks of care. It speaks of a relationship. It speaks that you're able to console, to help, to care, to comfort. The Lord says, I'm nigh, I'm near to those that have a broken heart. Maybe because of your sins, you feel like the publican and you're standing afar off. You feel the Lord is so far. You feel the distance because of your sin. You feel so absolutely unworthy as that publican. My friend, what causes a penitent sinner to feel he's standing afar off, listen closely, is the reason that God draws nigh unto them. The Lord is nigh unto those that have a broken heart. The Lord is nigh unto those publicans, those beggars, those needy ones that cry unto him for mercy, that need everything from him. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. No, the Lord is not nigh to those that live in sin. The Lord is not nigh that those that come to church just to satisfy their conscience, but can't wait till it's over. The Lord is not nigh to those who are resisting the law and say, I'm not guilty, and resisting the gospel and not surrendering to that only King and Savior. He's not nigh unto those who persist in the stubbornness of their wickedness and sin, even though they may feel some pricks, and they carry on. The Lord is nigh unto those with a broken heart. I am nigh to those with a broken heart. Is that you? What grace, what comfort, a gracious comfort. Why does the Lord not despise them? Why is the Lord near and nigh unto those with a broken heart? Because it's his work, it's his grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit. He sent it irresistibly to conquer their hearts, to break them, to teach them of sin, and to pour grace in their hearts, and to apply the gospel. He is nigh to such wretched poor ones. He is nigh unto them because their hearts are precious in his sight. A sinner with a broken and a contrite heart honors and glorifies the Lord more than a man, a dead sinner that gives great sacrifices. Yes, Psalm 51 verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken and a spirit and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, that will not despise. What other comfort do we read in Psalm 34 verse 18? We read, and save as such as be of a contrite spirit. He's not only nigh to them, but he saves them. Saves them. What does that word mean? That means to save from ruin, from destruction. It's to deliver from the greatest evil and to bring to the greatest good. The Lord will save them. He will deliver them from what greatest evil? To what greatest good? From the evil of sin to the greatest good, to be forever delivered, salvation. The Lord comforts broken-hearted ones with himself and who he is through the grace, through the merits of Jesus Christ. He does not despise them. He's nigh unto them, and he will save them. Who breaks hearts? Who? That heavenly physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, especially him. He wounds with the law, and he heals with the gospel. He's that great physician. He has that balm in Gilead. Listen to what he said of himself. What was prophesied in Isaiah 61 and what he said of himself in Luke 4 verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to what? To heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. How did physicians heal in that time, help wounded, poor people? They would apply oil into the wounds. They would give wine and pour it into the wounds. How does the Lord Jesus Christ heal wounded, broken hearts? By the oil of the gospel, by applying it by the power of the Holy Spirit. He wounds by the law to teach of sin. They need to be wounded first to be able to be healed. And he heals them with who he is, that one who's perfect without sin. He wounds them, telling them, showing them how foolish they are, how rebellious they are, how often they go astray, and how foolish they are as sheep. And he heals them with who he is himself, that good shepherd, that wise shepherd, that compassionate shepherd, that cares for his sheep. He wounds them, showing them that they are unrighteous and that all their filthy rags are just nothing but rags. All righteousness are just rags. And he heals with who he is himself, that he is righteous. And he says, thy righteousness is of me. And he's the Lord, our righteous. He heals with the gospel. He wounds them and shows them that they're worthy of eternal condemnation. And he heals them by showing them that only salvation is in him through his merits, through his wounds. The Lord wounds to heal. He's that great heavenly physician, and he heals sinners. He heals the brokenhearted ones. He heals the brokenhearted, the contrite ones, by showing them who he is. For such ones, they need an exact perfect Savior, and he is the perfect Savior. They need to be righteous, and he's the righteous one. They need payment, and he's the payment. They need that justice satisfied, and he's the one who satisfied the justice. They need that way back to God, to that way to the heart of the Father, and he says, I'm the way. Oh, that the Lord would bless the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the oil of the gospel may come into our hearts to heal wounded, broken ones. And my friend, your sins may be many and great, as black as hell. You may be as sinful as the Pharisees or as sinful as the prodigal son. But we read in Romans 5 verse 20, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Oh, brokenhearted ones, you are sin. Born in sin, you have sinned, and you remain sin. What lessons? And you continue to sin. Thoughts, words, and deeds. It breaks your heart. But Jesus Christ came. He came to suffer. He came to die. He came to give everything. And by his righteousness, and by his merits, and by his sacrifice, he becomes everything. For God's dear people. Who are they? Those broken-hearted ones, those contrite spirits. They come to learn step by step, growing in the grace and the knowledge of God, that he becomes everything, that he is made of God everything. As we read in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Dear little lambs, dear sheep, dear broken-hearted sinners, your iniquities and your sins and transgressions that we still commit against all the goodness should break our heart every day. But all those iniquities, all those transgressions, all those sins, God the Father has taken and he has laid them on his dear Son. And he, that precious Lamb, that substitute, he has taken them all away. What wonders, what mercy. And those who are brokenhearted, God will not despise. He is nigh unto them. He will save them. He will bring them home. Do you hear what you're missing? You who are still wholehearted, hearted, unrepentant. Oh, that your heart may break. And yet you, whose hearts are broken and need to be broken again and again and again, he graciously comforts. He graciously comforts with that precious wine, with that precious oil of the gospel that flows unto unworthy sinners through the blood of his dear Son. And he will take them home. He will take you home. He will come again. And he will heal you. What does that mean? He will save you. He will make you whole again. He will make you perfect. He will make you even better than Adam was in paradise. What does that mean? Without any possibility of ever falling again, but able to live forever in his presence, whole and purely, to give your life, your thoughts, your words, your deeds, your whole being to him. And then your lips, oh, your lips will be open eternally, singing praises forever to him and unto him. Uninterrupted glory. Unto whom? Unto him that loved us. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Blessed people, blessed future. Amen. Let us close in thanksgiving. Almighty, eternal, faithful Lord God of the heavens and of the earth to an unfaithful people, merciful God unto a sinful people, Lord, thou hast again given that we have meditated a little to hear thy precious word, what thou hast to say unto us through thy precious word, that thou art nigh unto broken hearts, that thou savest the contrite spirit, and that thou dost not despise them. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, apply thy word, that hearts would break, and that broken hearts may be comforted with thy love, with thy mercy, with thy grace, through the blood of thy dear Son. We acknowledge thee, that we may be together for a little time in the middle of this week. Thou hast helped through, because without thee we can do nothing. And all the honor and all the glory be unto thy name. Keep us then, until we may again, if it is thy will, return to enter into thy house on thy day. Keep us, guide us, protect us, and cleanse us from all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us close in singing from Psalter 403, stanzas 1 and 3. 403, 1 and 3. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing unto our God. 'Tis right and pleasant for his saints to tell his praise abroad. The Lord our God builds up his church. He seeks her wandering sons. He binds their wounds and gently heals the broken hearted ones. 403, 1 and 3. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.